Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're now live on the Gentlemen Talk Show, and this is your boy, Al.
And this is Kevin.
This is Nick.
Jen's somewhere around here.
I thought I saw someone get some coffee.
I think she went over to little break room right quick. Take a little break right quick.
Oh, Lord.
Break. Man, what's going on, fellas?
Nick!
Not much.
I saw your boy. I just seen the clip, man, of Jodeci getting booed off the stage. And KC sound like a bag of potato chips. Jodeci sound like a baboon, man. Like, I mean, what's going on? I mean, maybe the beginning of the show was good, and then the ending of the show just got real bad.
No, that wasn't KC. It was just bad all around. Well, actually, what happened was, for those who have not seen the news, just last night, there was an all-star 90s lineup in the UK at the Wembley Stadium. It was SWV, Changing Faces, Drew Hill, Blackstreet, and Jodeci was the headliner. Now, Devontae was a no-show, which was one thing that kind of threw him off. And then Mr. Dalvin hops off the stage, but for some reason he can't make his way back up on the stage. So KC and JoJo start performing a cappella, and those of you who saw the clip heard they sound like Charlie Brown's mama. And so the fans started booing.
They
booed him off stage. If you go to worldstarhiphop.com or if you go to singersroom.com, the video is on both those sites, and they got booed off the stage. Drew Hill actually had to come back out there, and they pretty much saved the day. They came out there and finished Jodeci's set and sang Jodeci's classic and killed it.
That's crazy.
Like,
it's like they were popping the molly and they were sweating. Woo!
How you got Jodeci?
Hey, man.
I ain't gonna lie though. JoJo looked like it though.
It can't be any funnier than when those guys fell off the stage, when JoJo fell off the stage when they were performing in North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
Ain't be no funnier than that.
What's up, Jen
that walked in the room? What's up, girl?
What's up, everybody? How are you today?
Jen, why are you taking breaks right before the show starts?
I'm not taking breaks. I'm, like, waving, letting me in.
I'm finna cut you off right there. You know when folks lying, like they voice get all real high pitched and loud,
right?
You know, yeah, it's cool though, Jen.
See, it's supposed to be a new year, a new start, and y'all still doing me wrong. Do you see this, America? Do you see how I'm continuing to be treated?
I mean, Jen, you're the light of the show. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good thing?
You better get it together before we chase you around the parking lot like Too Short was getting chased by the cops. That's all I'm saying.
I heard when I was coming in, I heard you talk about JoJo. Did y'all see him on Celebrity Couples Therapy?
I didn't see DMX go off, though, but
I refuse to watch that
JoJo
show.
No, JoJo was on Couples Therapy. Like, he has a problem, and I felt so sorry for his wife. Like, he is a really bad alcoholic, and I felt really sorry for his family.
Yeah, we know that.
I'll tell you who I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for me because I got a song that's been submitted for their album, and if they too drunk to get up there and perform, then I'm going to be upset.
I like how Nick just plugged that in there, though.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
shameless. Just shameless.
Oh, man. Oh, well. Here we go. Here we go. Well, last week, folks, you know, we talked about on the Talk of the Town. If you did not get a chance to listen to Talk of the Town this past Thursday, we had a show about freedom of speech and hip-hop where we discussed the line that Lil Wayne used about Emmett Till and also other artists having their own incidents to where, you know, was the freedom of speech stretched a little bit too far. Definitely go back and listen to that show. That show was pretty interesting. We had some great comments on that particular show. We had some things in which possibly could be continued about that particular show. But we definitely want to hear, you know, if you guys have any other comments about this show after you go listen to it, log on to Facebook and type in The Middleman Talk Show and place your comments in our feed, and we'll definitely respond to those. But that show last Thursday was a pretty good show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just got to say real quick, guys, we got some breaking news about the KC and JoJo show last night. A friend of mine was in attendance. She lives over in the U.K., and she said it wasn't that he couldn't get back on stage. Mr. Dalvin was so drunk he couldn't find the stage.
Wow.
Wow.
Man.
Wow.
Those two just fell off so bad. I mean, wasn't Devontae like a lobby hotel singer at a Holiday Inn?
Yeah, something like it.
Yeah, something like that. Over in Las Vegas, wasn't it? Or Atlanta?
Las Vegas.
I think it was Vegas.
It was Vegas.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
They was on Molly.
Woo! Molly was on something.
That's pretty bad. Man, I'm going to tell y'all that. I'm going to just tell y'all that. If one more artist come out and embarrass themselves from the 90s like that, man, I'm going to have to write a real nasty letter to their record label. They can't be embarrassed from the 90s like that, man.
Do it.
You can't even blame the labels anymore.
Can we switch the subject really quick? Because I have some 90s news. I don't know if anyone was tuning in to MTV this weekend, but if you were, they relived and replayed the first season of The Real World featuring Kevin Powell himself, you know, all weekend long. It was great. I hope you tune in, press your DVR, you know, follow Mr. Powell on Facebook. He actually acknowledged it. It was great.
Really, Jen?
Yes.
Only you would shine the light on that. Like, I mean, for real, Jen?
It was great. So, I just want, you know, before you just clouded, you know, about negative 90s news, about, you know, things that happened in the 90s, I just wanted to shed a light on some positive things that happened. And that was, like, a positive thing.
That was a positive thing.
Watch Kevin Powell.
It was positive because now on Real World they have drugs like Molly and drugs like, you know, these street drugs we're going to talk about today. And, you know, back then they had positive, they talked about positive things.
Right. Well, I guess you was paying attention to that. I mean, from when I saw your post, I saw the Kevin Powell thing. You tagged us in and I was like, here we go. She brought up that DVR and everything, taking screenshots of the TV.
I was.
So horrible. So horrible. Shout out to Kevin Powell. You got you an extreme fan over here. Show some love.
Yeah.
Send her a t-shirt.
Got one.
All right, man. What's up with the topic today, man? Let's let everybody know what we're talking about so we can get into this so we can start sweating.
Uh-oh.
Woo! Anyway, every time I say sweating, I'm going to need y'all to go, woo, sweating. Man,
we
got
to my Rick Ross voice.
No.
Anyway,
today's subject, we're talking about Where is Molly? Youth and the new drugs. Molly has been a common drug used lately by everyone who is typically trying to try it. You pop one and are you sweating, as what Trinidad James say? Pretty much, you know, we want to explain what Molly is. Of course, Molly is a drug made of cocaine, crack, ecstasy, meth, and bath salt. It slows your heart rate down 10 times the normal rate, and also wreaks havoc on your immune system with just one pill. But if you take two, it can also damage your brain without you even being able to realize it. It can also become an addiction. As soon as you cry for help, possibly could be too late. By the fifth one you take, it starts to kill your organs and preventing them from functioning as normal. It also increases your chances of a stroke, heart attack, and also causes your lungs to stop functioning altogether. It's a very, very powerful and dangerous drug. The more harmful, I mean, it's way more harmful than crack. So a lot of rappers nowadays, which we've seen, we have a lot of songs out that is promoting this particular drug. So today we're going to talk about, you know, why is it that the music industry has more of an effect on the new wave of drugs in general, not just Molly, but all the drugs in the past. Also, we want to talk about, is it a conspiracy theory or not? Do you, the public out there, think that the higher ups in the music industry force these artists to make music promoting new drugs? And also, we want to talk about, why are our African-American youth so quick to jump on the new drug trends? So we definitely want to hear you guys' discussion about that. The phone lines are open. We see you guys in the chat board. Thanks for those who are listening via the internet. You can also listen on your phone at 718-508-9972. Let's get into this topic.
Yes.
Should we first clip first, or do you want to go ahead and get into the topic?
Man, let's go ahead and get into the topic, because honestly, these clips are going to flow right in with the topic.
Most
we got
definitely.
Very, very good clips for you guys. Matter of fact, you know what, man? Let's go ahead and play. We're going to go ahead and play this first one. Man. We're going to play this first clip. All right, that's cool with everybody?
Yeah,
we just gave you guys a brief description of what Molly is. It's like Alan said, it's something that's really taking over not just the music scene as far as hip-hop, raves, all type of other venues. And honestly, we all know these drugs have been around for a while, but it's just real popular right now. So this is a clip right here that we, you know, it's going to kind of break it down for you guys a little bit more. So check this one out right here. You listen to The Middleman on Middleman Radio. Here we go.
Well, Molly started in the underground rave scene, but now it's wildly popular with mainstream teenagers and college kids. If you're a parent, you need to know about it. First, you'll hear what your kids likely think of Molly, and then you'll hear the truth.
You've heard of Mary Jane. Now, meet Molly.
Kind of like fun drug too. It's like something people want to do just to experience. People do it for that kind of euphoric, you know, like I said before, like cloud nine feeling.
It's a dangerous drug that's taken on an almost human identity. Instead of saying they've tried the drug, users like our unidentified college seniors say, I know Molly.
Just like powder, and you either you stick it in your gums or you just put it in a water bottle. Like the first time I did, I just put it in a water bottle, drank it on a subway.
An internet search for Molly results in endless chat room conversations and YouTube videos of teens and 20-somethings acting like this at concerts.
You know, commonly talked about and commonly used, especially in the Philly area.
The Drug Enforcement Agency and several local police departments confirm that most Molly users are teens and college-aged kids. Many of them, like our student, aren't typical drug users.
It's like a special occasion drug. These EDM concerts are just perfect settings for that, because, you know, you have like thousands of people next to you who are also on it, and there, you have like a low probability of like being like pointed out by a bouncer or the security guard.
But safety in numbers is not the only appeal. Molly is also the star of lots of hit songs, even getting a shout-out from pop icon Madonna at a festival in Miami a few months ago.
How many people in this crowd have seen Molly?
Molly is short for molecule and sold under the premise that it's the purest form of ecstasy, pure MDMA. That, police say, gives many college students the impression that it's not a dirty drug.
A lot of people were saying that it's safe.
I would kind of agree with that. It's not like, it's not hallucinogenic, you're not out of control, you're not like irritable. I never really considered, you know, to be like a, whoa, you can't do Molly, like, oh my God, you know, it's a hard drug.
But the Bensalem Narcotics Unit tells Fox 29 that kids need a reality check when it comes to Molly. She's dangerous, and she can kill.
It's made from several different drugs, but the majority that we've seen in this area, it's been based with amphetamine or some type of methamphetamine. There's no rules to govern the process of making it. It's made in somebody's basement. It could be made in a car. It could be made in a storage locker. It causes brain damage. It can cause dehydration. Your organs can shut down.
Molly goes for about $100 a gram, and you don't need nearly that much to get high.
Like 0.2 is probably like $20.
You'd need much more than that to face any prison time. Another appeal for college-aged users. If a dealer is busted with a larger quantity, they can only be charged for the actual ingredients, which Bensalem Narcotics say dealers often lie to users about.
What's in it? Because it's being made in a clandestine type environment, you don't know what's going to be in there. The only way we know what's in there is when we send it to the lab and it comes back. 9 times out of 10 around here, it's been some type of amphetamine.
Okay, parents, here's what you need to know. The effects of this drug only last 3 to 4 hours, and it has no smell. Narcotics officers tell me there are still ways to tell if someone was high on Molly. First, they'll be slightly dehydrated and need to drink a lot and could become withdrawn or paranoid when that high drops them low.
Man, that's why they say they sweating.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, but I don't...
Let me say this. I don't condone the usage of any drugs, but how could you listen to that, or how could you look at somebody that's on that and be like, you know what, I need to try that. I need that in my life.
I don't think it comes that way. Just like look at the crack epidemic. If you were a teenager back in the 80s, it was a high chance of you, you know, there was this new drug, it was crack, it was popular, you can get this fantastic high, people said, and a lot of people tried it, and boom, 30 years, 20 years later, you're pookie. You know, like, but who thought that you were going to be that?
It didn't take that long, man. It didn't take 20, 30 years later. Because every last one of us has seen a crackhead in our young age. And I tell anybody, if you ever think about trying drugs, look at somebody that's currently on that drug. It will change your mind. I don't care who you are.
So, but I think, you know, when people started trying a drug like crack and all that stuff first started coming out, it doesn't come like that. It's fun. People are trying it. It's something new. And, you know, a lot of kids just want to experiment. They just want this euphoric, I guess, feeling. That's what they said in the clip. I think that our generation, a lot of people in our generation want to escape reality. We don't like to deal with reality. We always have these ultra realities, video games, even reality TV shows aren't really reality. Like, we don't want to live in the here and now. We don't want to face things how they are. And I think that's a problem in our generation.
Right. Well, you know, I just want to say this. Like, I know some people may not agree with this, but even with Molly, man, it started from a gateway drug. You know, you got, man, ain't nobody, I don't think people, well, with Molly, maybe a little bit different, but I don't think people just go straight to Molly. I think they start off with something else. Could it be weed, or it could be alcohol, it could be something just to get that high, because I know some of my friends, I ain't going to say no name, but they just told me straight up, when they got to the point where they couldn't even get high weed no more, they went to the next gradual drug. Next up.
Well, let's not use alcohol as a gateway drug, because I don't think any time I've had any Hennessy in my life has caused me to want to try something stronger. I'm just saying,
man. You know, you got your alcoholics that, you know, they stick with alcohol purely. But then you got those that do the alcohol and weed. And, you know, that high, once you get that high, you want to go beyond that high sometimes.
Well, I think it's beyond that. I think that just so happened. I think a lot of people who smoke weed have bigger problems. So those people are more likely to step into other realms, because I know people that have been weed smokers for the last 50 years, and that's all they do, that's all they try,
exactly.
And they get stopped
right, I think
that a lot of times the people that are more common to jump from weed to coke to these crazy drugs, they've got bigger issues, they're trying to escape,
mm-hmm.
and,
right.
You know, they have to find, you know, more ways. I don't think weed is a gateway drug. I think these need to be identified as people that have
right.
psychological issues way bigger than drugs.
Well, and it also comes from, you know, this too, you know, like, you know, you said when they're trying to find another way to get high, you know, they go with the, like, the trending thing, just like when, you know, even though ecstasy was
out there, it wasn't as big as it was until, you know, it hit like the mainstream, to where you saw it on TV, you saw it in movies, and, you know, like it's trendy. So, you know, from my knowledge, from what I've been seeing, whatever something trendy comes on, just like when methamphetamine had that big boom, you know, it was a trendy thing to do. So, you know, the next thing up to do is what? Is to do what's trendy. Mm-hmm. It's like going to buy, you know, clothes or whatever. Like it's trendy.
I think they figure because so many people are using it that it can't be that dangerous. I think that's what it is.
Right.
Because what
we're gonna do right now, man, we got a good friend that's, you know what I'm saying, he's a fellow brother, you know what I'm saying? He listens to the show, a lot of brains and a lot of energy and knowledge. Now, you know, we don't want you guys out there to think that we're going to come with just opinionated comments with this particular topic today. We got somebody that works in the medical field. He's on the line. Y'all probably heard him on the show plenty of times, giving us great advice about our health and everything else. We're going to go ahead and bring in our man, Dr. Reed. Dr. Reed, you are live with the middleman. What's up?
What's good? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, Jen, if you want to know something that was positive that happened in the 90s, I graduated high school. So if that's all you need right there. All right, that's all the positivity you need from the 90s. All right, guys. And now I'm not going to pick on you today. I'm going to actually lift you up a little bit. A lot of what Jen was saying is correct, and I'll go a little further. All drugs, for the most part, attack the same system in your brain. And that's called your limbic system. That's your emotional, that's your pleasure centers of the brain. Now, if you look at many of the problems that we have, whether it be physiological, psychological, I mean, even all the way down to our perception of pain, all of that goes through our limbic system. So for those people who say that, you know, marijuana or alcohol is not a gateway drug, that's up for debate. But when you have people who have psychological issues, psychomotor problems, they've been abused, they've been raped, they've been to Iraq, they've been to Vietnam, places where they have post-traumatic, you know, that limbic system, emotional centers, a lot of times these drugs are kind of used to numb that. Now, one thing I can say, I want to echo what the Fox segment was saying, was there's no honor amongst thieves. When someone tells you something and they tell you that it's whatever, they are a thief. There's no honor amongst them. They could put boric acid in there for all you know. So when you're looking at such a conglomerate of drugs, just cocaine alone has enough problems with it, with the alkaloids that's in cocaine. Then when you mix that with crack, it ain't no telling what's in crack. Then when you look at the methamphetamines that's in there, that's pretty much speed. I don't know about necessarily slowing your rate down, your heart rate down. But the reason why most people sweat because their heart rate speeds up because the metabolism speeds up. So I don't know about necessarily about it. It might eventually slow your heart rate down when you're about to die. But the reason why most people sweat is because their heart rate goes up.
Dr. Reed, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
Okay, so we see now even more. We see in schools, we see, in newspapers, internet. We see there's this growing epidemic of youth where they're this bipolar. I don't know if you've watched the show. It comes on the OWN channel about this school in Louisiana. It seems like every kid at this school is bipolar. Is there a link between this, like, medical condition of these kids being identified as having, like, you know, these psychological problems and, like, a booming, because it seems like the people who are using these drugs are our kids. Kids that, why be my hours, like kids that grow up in, you know, urban areas, African-American kids, you know, it's reaching them too. You know, it's not just, you know, they used to say, you know, there was a lot of, like, Caucasian kids trying the acids and the crazy drugs, right. But it's our kids that are trying these drugs now. And is there a connection, you think, between that?
Well, twofold, yes, ma'am. You look at the power of influence. That's why I know on many shows we were talking about the responsibility of artists and people in the media and radio and things like that. There's a lot of influence, and unfortunately for our people, seemingly more than any other people, is that think about when guys was coming halfway out of their shirt, when Jay-Z in that Girls, Girls, Girls video came halfway out of his shirt. Then all of a sudden, you look around, everybody coming halfway out of his shirt. It's the power of influence. And a lot of times we live based off of a line in a song, based off of a line in a movie. And that's, I don't know why we as a people are so susceptible to that. So if someone came out right now and said you could roll up doo-doo and smoke it, I guarantee you 100,000 people would do it. That's how ignorant to a degree we have become. Mm. Now, as far as like the bipolar things, I'll sound like a conspiracy theorist, but in many neighborhoods, I mean, there's many sectors of the country, there are just a lot of over-medicated and overdiagnosed children. You know, when we were growing up, if you was looking outside, that was called daydreaming. Now you got ADD. So, you know, they just want to pump you full of drugs, pump you full of drugs, pump you full of drugs. The FDA states that 5 out of every 6 kids that's diagnosed with ADD is misdiagnosed.
Right.
So only one in six actually got ADD. So when you look at maybe the food sources that we have, the amount of fluoride that's in our water, then when you can combine that with a lot of the drugs that we're taking, and you know the communities that we live in, bad parenting stuff like that, yeah, there can be some emotional issues there. But as far as like being bipolar, no, that's what we would call in the medical community a lazy diagnosis, where when they don't know what something is, they'll quickly label it something else. Like if you have a skin condition and they have no clue what it is, they just call it eczema. If a kid don't know how to act and you done beat them or you done sent them to boot camp and they still cutting up, then you diagnose them with some kind of neurological issue. When they might just be mad that their grandma died.
But Chris, a lot of these kids are being, like you said, are being over-medicated. Is there like a link to, like they're on these medications that the doctor's pumping them, they're, you know, shooting these mollies and all this stuff like that? Like what kind of effect is this going to have on kids? Like what kind, if you were taking a like a drug, you know, for your brain, like for bipolar, and then you start doing weed and mollies and all that stuff, what kind of effect does it have on you?
Well, long-term effects of taking lithium is going to be problematic anyway. So when you take something like, it's already going to affect your limbic system anyway. It's going to affect your memory. It's going to affect growth. So people who take long-term lithium for a lot of those problems, they're going to have problems anyway. Then when you add, there's a lot of people that don't feel like marijuana is a psychedelic, but then my question to them is that would you feel comfortable with your pilot smoking a blunt before he flew?
Have you seen flight?
No.
Here we go.
Yeah. So the danger is when you're combining a lot of these drugs, especially long-term use. When we're talking about things like mollies, well, let me back up because I was thinking about what I was going to say while you guys were talking earlier. But is that anytime you introduce any kind of foreign substance to your body, there's a risk. Like when you even all the way down to food, like you don't know that you're allergic to strawberries until you eat strawberries. You don't know what you're allergic to, what your body can't handle. So that's just across the board. So now when you're taking drugs, especially mixing drugs, like cocaine is bad alone. Methamphetamine is bad alone. All these psychedelics are bad alone. Now you're going to mix them together with ecstasy. All of them are psychotropes. All of them are going to cause your heart rate to go up. All of them going to cause your metabolism to go up. All of them are going to suppress your hunger. All of them have long-term effects on your brain. Cocaine has long-term effects on your brain from the very first time you take it. So now you want to combine all those drugs, take it sublingually. I know that's one of the major ways which goes directly into your bloodstream. And you really run the risk of losing your life from the very first time you take it, depending on your height, weight, or any other pre-existing condition that you might have. You might have an underlying heart condition that you don't know about, and you don't find out until you take this drug. So you're really playing Russian roulette anytime you introduce any drug into your system, especially street drugs. Because, I mean, come on, how many people really trust Jerome on the corner? Does he really look like a trustworthy fellow? I don't trust that Negro. The only thing I trust is when he starts running, it's time to run. That's the only thing I trust.
Wow. So, well, I think we have some callers that might want to ask some questions.
It's the button to your left.
Hmm?
It's just
Hello?
The button to your left.
Hello?
Yes, caller 678.
Oh, hey, we got Tarasha calling in from Gainesville. Go ahead and make a comment. Sorry about that.
Yeah, definitely. Just comment, no questions. I just wanted to say I totally agree with the doctor. A lot of these kids now are overdiagnosed. A lot of what we are eating now is just making our bodies crazy as it is. And we, you can go and talk to a psychiatrist and tell them anything, and they'll write you a prescription these days. And so,
and they probably will write you a prescription no matter.
They probably would.
Long
story short, these children today are faced with so many different things. It is easy for them to escape with these drugs. I mean, it looks like an easy way out for them. And it's very, very sad and disheartening.
Most definitely. You're tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show, and we are talking about the new wave of drug, Molly. Of course, it's been around for a while. But as we've been discussing, of course, the components of it and what its effects, and also, other drugs that, a lot of people have been using. But the next question which we want to get into as far as the effect that this drug has as far as with the music industry, promoting this drug towards our teenagers and our youth. We do see a lot of youth out here that are, promoting it. Like, they wear it on their shirts. They're, like, we have a lot of youth that do music as well, too, and they're promoting their songs, too. Like, it is the thing to do. We have a lot of high school kids who have gotten placed in JDC for actually selling this drug as well to our kids in high school. So, we see that it is trendy. What do we feel, would actually change what is actually going on with our youth with this drug? I mean, we definitely cannot, we've been trying to hope to change with our music, but of course, vast majority of our music is going to do what? They're going to continue to promote what deteriorates our community.
Right.
How can we change
that? And what we have right now, one of the most popular songs out there, if you heard it on the radio a million and one time, is All Gold Everything. And the classic line for that particular song that everybody remember was Papa Molly, no sweating.
Oh.
God, y'all suck. Y'all sort of been like, woo, what happened to my woo?
No.
Woo.
No.
But what we got right now, we're going to play a clip right quick. And it's kind of contradictory. He really contradicts himself a little bit. We're going to play one clip, then we're going to play another clip right after that. I'm going to show y'all what Trinidad James said he is doing. I'm trying to figure out, what is this guy really trying to, is he promoting Molly or is he not promoting Molly? So you all listening to the Middleman Talk Show, check this clip out right here.
I just popped the soup.
Shout out to Texas. I think it's for Texas. I love Texas, bro.
Yeah. That Texas culture, right?
Got to, bro. Texas is very monumental in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, they really are,
yeah,
man. They really are.
No, they truly are. We got good friends out there, Bun B, UGK,
Rap-A-Lot
Records. Rap-A-Lot. You know my
boy. I got a song for y'all boys. Prince not gonna lose their mind.
Okay.
Prince not gonna lose their mind.
Molly, man. Molly is that designer drug now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, did you bring any with you, by the way?
No.
Oh.
Even if it was a yes, I was going to say no.
Okay,
right?
All right.
The fans listen to Serious Radio. That's all they listen to.
No. I just want to have Tracy G and everybody experiment with Molly so we can understand what's the big fascination with it. Does it make sex better?
Man, let me see. I think that, honestly, man, that if you just, you're going to try it. Because it's one of those type of things that you hear so many people talk about it, and you hear these good-looking girls talking about, like, man, shit, I'm going to try it. And your partner and his homeboy's like, man, bro, we just did this, that, and the other, and you just try it. And then I want you to just have your own experience and then see what's up. For me personally, it's party. It's almost like, when you're just down and out, but you want to turn up because it's just the time to turn up.
Yeah.
It's a quick turn-upper.
Quick turn upper. Okay.
It's not a real statement. Don't judge me. Okay. English
upper,
teachers
man.
Who
no,
listen
no,
to Serious Radio.
No, man, you're making your own language now, man. Talk for the money, baby. Talk for the money.
And that was Trinidad James talking about, if somebody wanted, they see the good looking women wanting to take the drugs, somebody else probably going to take it. That's peer pressure to the fullest, ain't it?
But you know what? That makes me angry because we say this time and time and time again on this show that artists, whether you're in the movies or you're in music or whatever your outlet is, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility with your art. And it's just like you spit that nastiness, you put that in the air for some little 13-year-old kid who thinks you're cool to, you know, think that what you're saying is truth. And you don't have any responsibility over that. And I just think that's disgusting.
And you said a lot when you said that little kid that thinks you're cool, that little kid that never did anything or never even tried a drug, it's going to do what? It's going to try to find out where he can get that drug from because the person that I idolize, Lil Wayne or Trinidad James or Tyga, is promoting this particular drug. I want to be like them. Why not do it?
Well, okay, I just got to say this, and maybe it's just me and maybe it's just how I was raised. Looking at Trinidad James and looking at Lil Wayne, do I want to try something that's going to make me seem remotely like them? Hell no.
You don't, because you have had life experiences, because you don't. But some little kids, if no one thought that Lil Wayne wasn't cool, he wouldn't be, you know, where he is now. Yeah. So somebody thinks he's cool. A lot of people
didn't
want to
look like Master P back in the day.
Well, a lot of people.
Who did?
But Nick, really, on a serious note, man, our kids are very impressionable. That's why we have a generation of young guys walking around with their pants sagging. We got a generation of young guys that look alike, talk alike, dress alike, act alike. We don't have individualism no more. So, number one, if a popular pop culture guy says, man, this is what I'm doing, and they following that trend, they're going to be more opted to go out there, try to find that drug, and get to it. And what's scary about it was, if you listen to the show, and you all listen to the Middleman Talk Show, the phone lines are open, 718-508-9972. But if you listen to the show a little bit earlier, one of the guys that were talking about Molly said that he drunk it out of a water bottle. Now, you think about it. You at a party, somebody like, man, drink this drink. Dude, I got this drink.
Right.
You drinking it, and you got Molly in it, man. I mean, dude, it's so accessible and easy for our kids to get stuck on this stuff.
And
it's
what
already
about those
accessible
kids?
Enough.
And what about those kids that, you know, that are trying their best to fit in, you know, trying to fit in with that crowd in which they've never fit in before, especially those freshmen entering into college, you know, trying to find their niche in the college and want to be accepted when they wasn't accepted in high school, but they want to be accepted in college because this is a new ball game. I can reinvent myself. Those kids, you know, once they try one particular drug, their life is pretty much what? It's changed for the bad.
Yeah,
you know, it happens, but it's, you know, we see it, like I said, we see it every day, you know, we hear it, you know, it's being promoted, you know, just like one of the questions that I have, you know, that I want to discuss as well, as far as do the higher-ups have more of an influence on these major artists to push them to talk about these drugs in their song? Like, is it you do this or you ain't got no contract? Do we feel like this is happening? Because you can talk about thousands of other things in your music, but you hear one song about Molly, next thing you know, we hear 5, 10, 15 other songs about Molly, just like when Ecstasy came out.
What?
You know,
well,
you had like different songs about Ecstasy.
Well, I think it could be a possibility. You know, I'm not really big on conspiracy theories, but, you know, if you have kids that, you know, think these people are cool and what they're doing all day is they're not being creative, they're not being individuals, they're not being thinkers of this world and changing this world. They're sitting at home playing, you know, PS3 and, you know, doing mollies and smoking weed and, you know, listening to the music that you're pumping out. And that's what they want you to do because it's all about money. It's money driven. And, you know, which happens to be, you know, it's just sad. And, you know, it's believable to think that something so horrible, because look at what happened, even how drugs in the 1970s were, infiltrated into our, you know, neighborhoods and, you know, populated. They were populated by the government, and that's a known fact. So why would we put it past the record company?
True that. Hey, y'all, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and bring Dr. Reed back in. I see he got some more things he want to talk about. Dr. Reed, you are live with us.
Yes. Jen, I guess you on fire today because you just you bugging my house. What's really good?
I sound like stuff in here, man.
No,
I have to go back to influence again. And, you know, there are some areas about me that's very liberal, and there's areas about me that's very conservative, especially seeing where I come from. And you have to look at what you put into the world. Whatever you put into the world, for the most part, is what you're going to get out. If you're taking these drugs at such a young age and you're undriven, because you got to look at, sometimes you got to look at the source. You know, you looking at these dudes who really ain't did nothing for themselves. They doing all these drugs. You got people telling you, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Now, if doing Molly's is going to get you Bill Gates type of money, I don't know. I might even be tempted to do something like that. But let's be realistic, though. You know, this stuff is not taking you anywhere. And we're so influenced. And then the question I ask is where are the parents, and what type of influence do the parents truly have on their kids? If the media and radio has that much more influence over your parents, then parents, you failed, or you're failing, or you're not trying. You know, if saving my children means packing up and moving to the middle of Montana just to save them, I'm willing to do that. Sometimes you have to do some drastic measures to save your children.
True that.
I'm so serious about that. And how many people are really, truly willing to say that I'm willing to do whatever it takes? Especially parents of young black men, because you don't start out with 3 strikes. You start out with about 10 strikes. Again,
amen.
Trust me, I know that. And I've experienced it often. So you want to introduce drugs into your system. Don't you realize that people won't give you a job for that? They scream for that type of stuff like that.
That's true.
You know, so, and everything that someone tells you is cool is not cool. You know, these things, I mean, you're talking about something after one dose can mess up your brain for life. Some people ain't that smart to begin with. You want to destroy what little you have? You already in trouble.
And these, well, you are listening to the Middleman Talk Show. We're talking to Dr. Reed about the most popular drug of the moment, Molly. If you have any questions or you got any comments, we are taking phone calls. The number is 718-508-9972.
Here's a question I
got to play devil's advocate for just a second. Going back to what Dr. Reed said when he first came back on. You know, yes, it's true a lot of these drugs will take you somewhere, but just playing devil's advocate, every corporate America job that I've had, my highest salary job, not one of them has had a drug test system. Not one. First. Second, it's documented that cocaine has closed some big business deals. And I think this is the thing about it. This is where the movies come into play, too. It's not just the music. When you look at movies, you see a lot of these higher executives, and what are they doing? They're doing lines. You know, they're having these parties where they're using this drug or they're using that drug. A lot of people watch these movies. They see power. They see influence. They see money, and they think, okay, in order for me to get to that, I have to do that because that's what I see them doing. And the movies are just as influential, if not more, as the music.
But I think it goes back to what Dr. Reed said, you know, earlier. The devil is always a liar. You know, the movie might say that this CEO is up here snorting lines, but he's not going to be CEO for long. He's not going to be CEO 30 years from now because it doesn't work. It never works.
That's not true.
Only TV makes you think that that's real. You might have, he has somebody above him. The top person is not a drug addict because you can't think, you can't function, you can't be a boss and have a deluded mind. You just can't. It's a lie.
Yeah. George Bush was the president for 2 terms. Don't say what you can do with a deluded mind.
He wasn't running the show because he had somebody behind. If he wasn't diluted, he wouldn't have made so many mistakes because he had the little man. He was a puppeteer. He had someone behind him. He was just a delusion. And the people that you think that are top living that kind of life, no, there's someone behind them controlling the show. The devil will always be a liar to make you think that, oh, he's a boss. No. He's being controlled because you cannot be disillusional and be a boss.
Hey, Nick,
I'm telling you is I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking real life. It is well documented that there has been a high amount of drug use, not just in the music business, not just from the executive standpoint, not just in the music business, in a lot of corporate business. I sat there and I talked to a friend of mine who's worked for a very, very large company in Georgia. I'm not going to even say the name, but another very high up person there has a steady cocaine problem. A steady cocaine problem. Even if you look at people like Johnny Carson, Johnny Carson has such a cocaine problem that he burned a hole in his nose. They had to be plugged. Freddie Prinze was hooked on pills for years. These people ran major corporations. Don't think that it's just the people that are on the lower level. It is well documented that drug use has been rampant in all forms of life. And just like I said, every corporation that I work for that has my higher salary jobs, not one of them has drug tested. Not one.
Hey, Nick, this is I agree with everything you're saying, but here's my major rebuttal to that. You have to look at society by the numbers, 80-10-10 rule. The 80-10-10 rule is going to apply across the board. The jobs that you've had in those realms, that is the upper crust 10%. Most of America will never get to where you were or where you are as far as those type of jobs, period. So those people that's in that realm, that those higher upper crust, 100,000, 7, 8, 9-figure type of people that you're talking about, the Johnny Carsons of the world, everything you're saying is legit, but they're the exception. They're the 10% that can still have that drug problem and still reach those heights. Then there's everybody else, you know, the core nucleus of America. Most people won't see that those opportunities or that money at all. That's just period, point blank. So a lot of times we look at the exceptions and try to make the rules. Yeah, George Bush ran the country, and yeah, we know he was on some hard stuff. But you know what? He's the exception. How many people are going to make president? How many people are going to make secretary of state? You know, we can't look at these exceptions, and we can call out a whole lot of, you know, people in the music industry and in movies. But how many musicians are there versus how many made it big? How many actors and actresses out there as opposed to how many made it big? So you're talking about the upper crust 10% still functioning and doing these things versus everybody else. So when you look at people on the lower level, you know, the middle class America trying to accomplish, you know, their daily 9-to-5 type of jobs and living this lifestyle, they're not going to last, man. So, I mean, when you look at the power of, you look at the power of influence, man, it makes me ask the question, why? What do you benefit from using it? Before you put any substance into your body, you have to ask yourself, what do I benefit and what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen is before I ingest this pill, I could die within 5 minutes. Seriously. Those are things that you have to ask yourself.
Dr. Reed, 1 second. We got a caller that's been trying to get in. Let's get this caller in. Marva from New York.
Hi. How are you? Good evening.
How you doing, Marva?
I'm fine. I'm so glad to hear you again here on Blog Talk.
Most definitely.
And I want to also say that I have to honestly, I did not know anything about Molly until I saw that you all were going to be on the air this evening. And which was even more scary was that when I just asked my 15-year-old daughter about it, she's like, oh, yeah. And, you know, there's a song out about it. And I guess what really bothers me the most is because I do consider myself a mom, you know, always around, trying to make sure I'm there at all times. And, you know, to know that this slipped by me is kind of scary, to say the least. You know, but, you know, she broke down the song and everything. And, you know, we have a pretty decent relationship, I have to say. I'm not going to say it's a perfect one, I mean, because she is a teenager. And, you know, they all have, you know, all teenagers have their thing going on. But, I, you know, we talked and I asked her, you know, well, anyone in your circle doing that? She was like, no. She said the thing, you know, smoke weed, and a lot of them are trying to get into these hookah lounges for the smoke, you know, the smoking.
Yeah, with the vapors.
Yeah.
But she said as far as Molly, she said no, from the ones that she knows that she's friends with, and plus with her being an athlete, you know, she's in that athletic circle, per se. They're afraid of it. She said they're actually afraid because they know what's in it. They've already heard. Some of them have heard, if you take one, you'll die instantly.
Wow.
That's a good thing. You know,
Marva, this is Kevin with the middleman. Did she say, like, any of her classmates, I mean, I know they like the record because they play it 1,000,001 times per day. But did she say that there's, like, any hint? Because, like, if you listen to the show earlier, we were talking about how Molly can be transferred as far as in a water bottle. You can have it mixed up, and it can be sharing a drink, and it can be in that bottle. I mean,
really?
Did you get? Yeah, yeah. Did you guys get that far into the conversation? Because
no,
like,
we
it's
didn't.
Scary.
I know we didn't, and I will talk to about that because, again, like I said, you know, I am very, very involved with her. I mean, of course, I'm not with her every single moment, every single day, but I am very, very much hands-on, even as far as being involved in the school, being involved with the athletics, talking to her every day. So to know that this slipped by me, like I said, you know, it bothers me. It's a very big concern of mine. And then, you know, to run it by her, it was like, they talk about that, da, da, da. Really, where was I? You know? So my whole thing to the parents, be aware. Because like I said, this one got by me. Usually too many things don't get by me. But this one got by me.
Right. And I had a friend when I was putting up the show, they asked me, have I ever heard of Millie? And Millie is like a pure form of methamphetamine that some of the teenagers have been, I guess, using now. You know, there were a few incidents at the hospital to where these teens were admitted and they were you know, high on Millie. So I'm suspecting maybe Millie will be the next thing. So possibly ask your daughter about that. You know, I mean, everyone who's out there listening, make sure you guys, you know, ask your children or, you know, relatives and anything about Millie, because I can definitely see that, you know, since these kids are on this now, maybe this would possibly be, I guess, the male version of Molly. I mean, I don't know, but every so often, I mean, you hear about a new drug and, you know, you hear it, you know, at a mass majority in music. So, but, you know, since Miss Marvin, you know, of course she wouldn't, you know, then listen to no Trinidad James, or I don't think, or whatever.
No.
So that's
one
why
thing
you
I
didn't
can,
hear from.
I can honestly say, and I know people will probably say, oh, but she doesn't know because kids do things and that, maybe, you know, behind your back. But I have to honestly say that I am blessed because my daughter, as well as the people that she, you know, kids that she's friends with them all being athletes, they are so concerned about taking care of their bodies, preserving their bodies. They don't want to get hurt.
Right.
They, you know, they want to play college ball or, you know, play whatever sport on the college level and this and that. So I'm just hoping they just continue that way of thinking, you know, it'll, of course, be okay. And like I said, I talk to her all the time. So I'm just hoping that she will still continue that frame of mind or that thought, like, not to do that, you know, because right away I asked her, I said, well, have you thought about it? She's like, no. She said, don't you know you take one of those things, they say it kills you right away.
Wow. It is scary. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
But, Marvin, we thank you for your comments. You have any more, just press number one. We'll bring you back in, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to bring in, we have our man that's been waiting on the phone line also, Smitty out of Nevada. What's up,
actually, I live in Phoenix now. It's cool, though, man. What's going on, people?
What's good?
Get into this conversation, man,
about these scary drugs and these kids.
Man, I tell you what, man. I had a sinus headache, went to get some Sudafed. I'm like, where's the Sudafed at? Had to go behind a counter and show ID. Didn't know they made meth out of it. Now they got to show ID to buy NyQuil. And half your regular management got his kid over the counter. You got to show ID. Because these kids are making everything. You're dead. I heard about the Mollies. That's one drug that people be sleeping on. Meth. Watch that documentary on Netflix called The World's Most Dangerous Drug. When the dude showed the folks how to make it, he had to put on a hazmat suit.
Yeah. What's that?
Go ahead.
And I mean, you know, I know you don't have any kids, right?
You know, no kids.
Nieces and nephews?
I got nephews and I got a goldfish.
as an uncle, have you ever just sat down and talked to them about the dangers of drugs? Because I mean, that's a hard conversation. It's almost, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable to parents to talk to their kids about certain things, be it sex or drugs. Have you ever just sat down and talked to him about drugs, man, and just like, hey, this ain't where you need to be, even though pop culture telling them this is where they need to be?
Hard part, like, gotta give him a couple years because my oldest nephew is 6, and they got young one 4 and 2. I got younger cousins I talked to. I just told them the truth. I'm like, hey, I just tell them the truth. I said, man, there's a reason this stuff's illegal. And I also say the stuff that messes your body up. And I also said, yes, perfect. I said, yeah, let's say weed, for example. Yes, they legalized a couple of states. But your company you work for can still say you can't have it in your system if you want to work here. Or you can't come smell like a dime bag if you want to work here. That's still provisions. And so I was telling them that, hey, so I told y'all the truth. You know what happens to these people that do these drugs? Y'all taking courses in school, you watch movies, you watch TV, you see all this, these documentaries. And if you still want to do it, it's on you.
True that. Man, I'm going to tell y'all something that scared me a little bit also was, that was a while ago. I don't know if y'all recall about a drug that they were putting in these, on these little stamps. And I know you say you had one that's 4 and 6. Now, the 6-year-old may be more affected by this because, like, it was in elementary school. They were putting pure LSD on stamps. And the kids were in class.
Yeah.
And they also had another one that was out there where they were doing something with the gummy bear. So, I mean, man, we got so many things that we're fighting to keep our kids away from these drugs. And, yes, we do have pop culture. I always tell them, hey, man, it's okay. You know, this is what we do. Just like the clip we played earlier with Trinidad James saying, you know, if you see somebody beautiful doing it, I mean, it's all PR. It's like they're programming us to do this stuff. I mean, what do you guys think about that? The phone lines are open, 718-508-9972. What do you guys think about how much programming they're doing to us, be it drugs, I mean, legal drugs or illegal drugs?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been this is Alan from the Middleman. This has been something that we've been seeing for years. I mean, you know, even ever since the Prohibition. I mean, you know, you have, you know, the gangster that was promoting, you know, alcoholism and, you know, and stuff like that. And then, unfortunately, they had that big ban of against, you know, alcohol. But, of course, what you had? You had people that were still using it, people that were promoting it. You know, their kids were drinking it, too. And then also, you know, you come into, you know, the when they were having the what is it, where, like hippies would go and gather together and smoke weed all day?
Oh, Woodstock.
Yeah, Woodstock.
You know, like you had the Woodstock things, you know, and then like you had the rave with the ecstasy and stuff like that. So it's all trendy. Like I said before, early on the show, I mean, it's whatever trendy, you know, whatever's cool, whatever from that kid that don't have that individualism between themselves or that person that guides them down that path of success, what they're going to do. They're going to fall back on people who they think are successful, and they're going to do what they can. That's what we see.
I think that with this, and I don't want to just blame it on the newer generation, but it seems like no matter what it is, it's always the quest for the next high, like Jim was saying a little bit earlier. Like, even if you, like at this point, if you just legalize marijuana completely, all they're going to be doing is looking for the next illegal drug. I can remember a situation, and it's really bothering me that a lot of these kids are just trying to experiment to find the next thing. I can remember going to CVS a few weeks ago. My niece had the flu, so of course I go and I do what you know parents do. We go get, you know, we're going to get you some Powerade, and we're going to get you some medicine. We're going to get you this, we're going to get you that. And I was talking to the lady at the counter, and she's like, you know, they've actually had to start, you know, stopping kids because they're buying Gatorade or Powerade and getting NyQuil or DayQuil and mixing it in to the bottle and drinking it. Like, what kind, like... We used to talk about the people bad who sniffed glue. So, like, now it's a little bit difficult for me to understand it. Y'all know what I mean. Come on now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hey, I remember there was a wino in my hometown that was just drinking Listerine.
Yeah.
It bothers me. It really does bother me because it's like at this point, it almost seems like you're trying to kill yourself. And it's not to do it just to be cool. And I tell kids all the time, you don't have to do drugs to be cool. And Dr. Reed can attest to this. Our very first week, we met each other our very first day of student orientation at Alabama State in the summer of 1998. Now, whereas everybody else is, we're going to be partying, and this is where we got all the girls. What did we do?
Are you asking me?
And when
y'all was at Top stop light. We first. That's where I'm from, Montgomery.
But we had a stage tournament, and when I tell you we had enough at a club, you don't have to do drugs just to, you know, you don't have to do that type of thing just to be. Just like
but I think again, just people that do these drugs have bigger problems and just, you know, they want to be cool. You know, like, I think that's a part of it. But I think the bigger issue is beyond that, that they have these bigger issues. They're trying to escape something. Why do you want to fit in? Why do you have low self-esteem, low self-image, you know, no identity, no direction? They're a lot bigger than just, you know, I think we need to start looking at, like, just they do drugs and get to the root cause. In so many cases, like, why do these kids have such low self-esteem, such low self-image of themselves? They feel they have to turn to drugs.
It's a way to escape. I mean, that's primarily the main thing. People drink liquor to get away from their problem. They use drugs to get away from their problems. I don't know if it's so much young kids getting away from their problems, because, I mean, today they do have a lot of problems, I will admit to that. But I don't know if it's they're out, you know, they escape. I think it's more so just like it's something to do. It's almost like picking up the video game controller. You know, it's crazy out there. But if you want to get in this conversation, the telephone number is 718-508-9972. We do have a couple of minutes here. We definitely want to get some of you guys' comment regarding to this topic.
Yeah. Man, you guys are on point there. You guys on point with that stuff. First, I know y'all was in the top flight in the rows up the club. Y'all ain't got a lot of us. hey, I'm from Montgomery. I know about orientation in the summertime. But,
hey, man, we was on a totally different level.
Y'all give y'all a hard time.
Top flight closed, by the way. They finally closed the place down. Good.
Yeah, they did,
hey,
finally.
Guys, real quick. My thing is that I would ask anybody is that, you know, especially with young kids, who are you? You know, what do you stand for? I remember being at Alabama State, and I'll never forget this day for as long as I live. There was this girl. She was so fine. And, I played baseball at Alabama State, so I never drunk or smoked or anything like that. And this girl had a blunt. She was sitting outside, and the way she prepared that blunt looked so good. And I remember her passing it to me and said, here, hit that. And it's like my whole life flashed before me. I was like, am I really willing to blow everything for this fine girl? And I said, nah, Mom, I'm good. I mean, she looked real good doing it, too. But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, who are you? What are your morals? What do you stand for? And are you willing to risk everything just to fit in and just to be cool? And then I think maybe a week later or something like that, they end up pissing all of us, you know, for our scholarships and stuff. So what would have happened if I'd have lost everything that I came to Alabama State for over some girl who, you know what I'm saying? You probably remember where we was too. So was it really worth it? And I said no, because, you know, my mother did drugs. My mom started out on alcohol. And she, you know, because of heavy drugs, she lost us to foster care. I grew up in and out of foster care. And I grew up a hard life, you know, partly because of the choices that my mother made. And I thank God she's been clean for over 20 years. But it can go downhill. It can go down fast, depending on what other concurrent problems that you have.
Wow. And that's some real talk right there, man. Dr. Reed, man, we appreciate you for sitting in with us today, man, to talk about this Molly epidemic and really all these drugs that I mean, America, man, is a drugged up nation when you really look at it. But, you know, before we get out of here, y'all, what are some of the ways that we can express, you know, not using drugs to our children, not using drugs to our peers, our friends, family, whatever the case may be? I know people going to do what they want to do because they're grown. But what are some of the ways we can express this to them to let them understand that you are more important than the drugs you're using? How can we go about doing that?
I would say who don't fall under that pressure. There are a lot of kids nowadays
they live by that. Just like Marvel was saying, you know, I don't want to put anything in my body that's going to, you know, damage me or that's going to alter my sense of reality. There are a lot that are like that. We need to elevate them. Let's not wait till they make it to the Olympics, or let's not wait till they make it to a pro team. Start elevating those kids and show them that there's a different type of coach. I think going back to what Jen was saying, let's try to find out what the problem is, because everything has a source.
Jen, you got anything you want to add to that?
I think that there's a cry, and I think we need to answer the cry. I think, you know, during the 60s and 70s, when you seen, like, you know, a lot of the drug revolution in America, and a lot of people were free love and smoking weed, and it was a cry out for expression, a cry out for freedom. Well, you know, what are the kids crying out now? And I'm really not sure if they feel like, you know, they're not being heard, or they feel like, you know, they're lost, or there's no way to express themselves, or what's happening. But I think, you know, every parent, every mentor, every person who, you know, has a teen, or not even teens, because I know grown people that's getting hooked on these drugs. If you have someone in your life, what's going on? And just like Nick said, just ask. Just try to get involved, because you have a zombie nation being born.
Most definitely. And if we don't, you know, find ways to improve that, you know, these kids are going to be our, you know, and, you know, they're going to be our future leaders, our future teachers, you know, hopefully our future teachers, our doctors and our lawyers. You know, we have to continue to guide them down that path that we want to see them succeed on. And where we're at right now, you know, music is the most impressionable thing for them. We have to find better avenues of getting more impressionable music out there instead of what we have out here now, which is garbage.
And parents being checked. Do parents not have check now on their kids? Like, I remember hiding my Athena Howard CD from my mom because she was naked on the cover because I didn't want her to see it. Like, do kids not, they're not afraid to show their parents, like, stuff like that anymore?
I don't know. I mean, too many of the parents are out there doing the same thing as their kids. So, you know,
right.
If we don't have enough responsible people to help our kids, then I'm going to just say it like this. Our children are going to have to be stronger, because it takes strong willpower and self-determination not to follow the pack. So as long as we keep encouraging our kids and also be that light, be that example for these children out here, we don't have to worry about them not having the example that they need. I mean, music is what it is. It's entertainment. These are jesters. We are the true lights and leaders for these people and for these kids, each individual. So we have to stand up and do our part. Yes, we can sit up here and say drugs are doing X, Y, and Z, but we have a choice to use them or not to use them. But we once again would like to thank Dr. Reed and everybody that called in. Marvin from New York, hey, appreciate you. Make sure y'all go check out Sex in the City Chocolate. Sex in the City. They come on every Wednesday and Thursday about 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. 9 o'clock? 8 o'clock? We also would like to thank Tarasha, everybody, basically, they call in. Smitty, everybody that's over on the web chat, man. Don Calypso, man, appreciate you, my brother. And if you got anybody out there that's thinking about using drugs, you're thinking about using drugs just because it's popular right now, don't do it. As Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Once again, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show and add your famous closing words.
Thank you for taking an hour out of your day to listen to the Middleman Talk Show.
And we're going to end today's show with a special record. Like I said, any independent artists out there or producers, hit us up at wearethemiddleman@gmail.com. That is correct. We are the middleman at gmail.com. We want your instrumentals or your records. Make sure they're clean. And we're going to end this show with a record that I like. Make sure you tune in this Thursday, Talk of the Town, and also this Wednesday. Might have something special for y'all, so you make sure you check out our Facebook page, and we will be posting it up out there for you people to check it out this Wednesday. It may pop off for you people. So y'all make sure y'all tune in. We got something special for you guys. But
it's right here. Don't forget Tuesday.
Yeah.
Don't forget this coming
What? Go ahead and let them know about that.
Central playing the best in R&B. Midday morning. Middleman taking over the mornings now.
Hey, we ain't Batman no more. We don't come up when the sun go down no more. But make sure y'all come check us out Thursday for Talk of the Town also. And next Sunday, it's going down. What we got on these folks next Sunday, y'all? But y'all don't even know the show for next week.
I don't need no damn man.
Yeah, that's the basis of it, but I have it all, and I don't need you. So if you one of those sisters out there that think you have it all and you don't need nobody, tell them. This is dedicated to you. You. And you. All right, we're going to end the show off with this right here. Thank you once again for listening to the Middleman Talk Show. Here you go.
And that was Nick Eaton with Let's Chill. Y'all can go check that out on iTunes, if I'm not mistaken. If you can't get it, hit us up at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. That's wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. That's correct spelling. Once again, we appreciate you guys for tuning in to the show. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
The middlemen shouted, Beat Chris shouted. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to, but pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, so take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to break shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. BlogTalkRadio.com. The middle me. Hey. What's happening in the middle?